Hello, everyone. All the people in the room.
People.
All right. Good night. I mean, no, Jasmine. Go finish your homework. Be in bed by 9:30. I'll come see you when I'm done teaching. Okay. Go. Hi, everyone. Go. So, can you hear me? Okay.
Yeah, it's a new mic, and I mean, a new system. I think it's well.
And can you hear Laurent? Okay. How about Laurent?
Laurent too? No, nobody can hear me.
That's good. We didn't want to hear you anyway.
Here we go.
Oh, okay. Well, there we go.
Just playing smartass on me tonight. I like it.
I am. That's two in a row.
Yeah, it's great. I love it.
All right,
smart
then.
Smart asset.
Okay, good. I'm glad you can hear us both. All right. I'm going to give you a link then. This is a link to a specific page.
Are you becoming me, actually, now that I think about it?
I'm becoming you?
This is the kind of sense of humor that I would come up with.
Oh, yeah, is it?
I like it. It's the oneness business.
The oneness business. All right. The link I just gave you goes to reginadonacres.com. It is going to October 2005, which is where we left off last time. And we're going to start with a prayer, of course. Do you want to do the prayer or you want me to?
You mean sarcastic? Yes, sarcastic. Sarcastic.
All right, I'll do the prayer.
Okay.
If you hold my hand.
I'll hold your hand.
Okay, here we go. Holy Spirit, I come to you once again in gratitude. And I want to thank you not only for the guidance that you give, which I have been giving lots of gratitude for lately, and maybe that explains why I seem to be getting clearer and clearer guidance. So I want to continue to say thank you for the guidance, because I like the clear guidance. So I want to say thank you for the guidance. But I also want to say thank you for the clarity. It seems that one thing that has been coming to us lately is clarity. Clarity, primarily, I think, what I'm looking at right now, clarity about our own errors or our own misperceptions. And I'm really grateful for this, because when we get clarity about our errors and our misperceptions, then we seem to find the willingness to make the change, or in this case, to let those errors go. And that's really important. So I know that we say that it's human nature, that we do not want to see our errors, that we want to believe we're always right. But the truth is, the Son of God within us, the true desire within us, that within us that wants to awaken, does want to see our errors. And we do want to see them with that clarity that enables us to make another choice, change our mind, and let the errors go. So, from the very bottom of my heart, I thank you very, very much for showing us where we are wrong, where we are mistaken, where we are misperceiving. It's a great, great gift that you give us. Amen.
Amen.
All right.
I want to thank him for the burritos too, but
the burritos. We just finished eating burritos, and Laurent says he wants to thank Holy Spirit for the burritos too. I need my hand back.
Go ahead.
Thanks. Got to do some stuff with my hand. All right, so I have given you the link to October 2005, and what I'm going to ask you to do now is scroll all the way down to the bottom of that page. You're going to October 11th, 2005. There's a message called Notice, and that's what we're going to read. All right, so here we go. Good. I like the first line.
I like it too.
You like the first line too? All right. Notice when you look at others and see them as others. Notice when you judge them as different and separate from yourself. And then rest in your mind, noticing. It is nothing to feel guilty about. It is just the observance of an ancient habit you are ready to let go of. Now, remember your new purpose and your prayer for today. Rest within your mind, in peace, secure in knowing that you do choose again. To rest in peace with me is to choose again. Notice the peace within your mind and be glad. Laurent and I were talking about this kind of a little bit ago, weren't we? A little bit about, we were studying NTI Ephesians, and we were talking about how when you believe a thought, you retransmit that thought into our oneness. But if you receive a thought, but then choose to rest, accept, and trust, you do not retransmit that thought or do not retransmit that energy into our oneness. And in fact, what you're doing is listening to the Holy Spirit and accepting the atonement for yourself whenever you choose to rest the mind. And since there is only one mind, when you do that, you actually do that for everyone. Every time we rest our minds, guys, we're doing it for each other. Every time we choose to rest our minds, we're not only giving a gift to ourselves, but we're giving a gift to all of our brothers. And that's what he's saying in the second to last line in Notice. He's saying, to rest in peace with me is to choose again.
That's great.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, very often the ego tells me, you know, don't stay there. Now you need to work. Okay, we saw the thought, we rest with the thought, and now choose again, you know. And I'm like, what? Choose what? You know, and it gets me panicking there. No, to rest in peace with me is to choose again.
Yes.
Which means, just like Regina said, when the thought arrives, it's coming from my oneness, and me as a temporal antenna, a temporal receiver and transmitter, I will... like a radio, I will receive it, but not send it back.
Yeah.
And I do that not only for me, but for my brothers too. But then again, in order to create me a future that is that should be actually more oriented towards truth, in the sense that, because if I send again, they will come back to me. Since
yes.
every experience is past, then the thoughts are passed as well as an experience, and they will come back to me.
Yes.
If I resend them, if I act upon them, if I believe them, if I react to them, if I judge the thoughts that are coming to me, if I judge myself for this, I'm just creating more of them, just this.
Yeah, and in fact, since the ego does like to lie to us and trick us and all of that, let me just point out another possible ego trick. Right now, if we look at the second to last line, we notice it says, to rest in peace with me is to choose again. So what the ego may say to you, if you are attempting to rest the mind, but you're feeling emotions of fear, or you're feeling emotions of anger or hatred or guilt or unworthiness, the ego may try to tell you, you're not at peace, you're not resting, you're not doing this right. You should feel peace. And I just want to point out that actually Holy Spirit gave us a definition of peace. And that definition of peace was resting the mind, accepting how we feel, and trusting the healing process, which means you may still feel fear while you're ratting. You may still feel guilt, unworthiness, anger, hatred. But the fact that you are doing the resting of the mind, the accepting of how you feel, the trusting of the healing process, Holy Spirit said that is peace. That is being at peace. And in fact, then what you are transmitting back into our oneness is the vibration of peace instead of the vibration of fear. So rest in peace, whether you seem to be feeling peace or not. Just trust that you are if you're practicing the rat technique.
And this is totally, you know, it's a short message. It could be some kind of a single quiet thought, by the
it's
way.
It's very similar to single quiet thoughts, yes.
And it is so Holy Spirit. you know, everything is, as I like to call it, an ambassador of heaven. First is the ambassadors of awareness of who we really are by noticing. You just notice. You notice, and then you don't feel guilty, and then you rest, accept, and trust. It's all that could come from Holy Spirit.
Yeah. All right, then, shall we scroll up?
Sure, I like the rest in peace with me. We spoke today, oh, Claudette was here, I think so. We spoke today about, on the French Pal Talk,
yes,
about the idea of dying to oneself. Mm. So the question was raised, do you have to die in order not to, do you have to die in order not to, in order to believe that death is not true? I said, no, of course. But the idea is really to die. And die is a great term when you realize that when you accept totally the moment, well, you die to the moment. Mm. And what's happening as well? Well, yourself, your self-will is dying with it. You know, there's no reaction. Reaction belongs to the personality. So you die the personality by dying to the moment.
Yes.
And it is somehow, you know, rest in peace. It is rest in peace with spirit. Mm. And when you die this way, you automatically choose again.
Yes. All right. Zoe likes that she can feel scared and rest. Yeah, basically what she's really saying is she likes that she's not doing it wrong. That's what she really likes, is knowing that she is practicing the practice of awakening.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we all like. We like that Holy Spirit tells us, no, you're okay. You're okay. Because unfortunately, we're too addicted to listening to, you're wrong. You're not okay. You're bad. So
you're wrong.
It's nice for Holy Spirit to come along and everything and say, no, you're fine. You're doing fine. Mm-hmm. Just keep it up. So now we're going to scroll up to Thursday, October 13th, and the title of this message is, You Do Nothing, You Lazy Bum. Oh, wait, it doesn't say that. Just, You Do Nothing. So let's find out what Holy Spirit's talking about. Holy Spirit says, You have denied who you are, and so you do not understand what you do. You do nothing. As you seem to spin within the thoughts of separateness, you seem to weave an experience and suffer from that experience. Others seem to be there with you, caught in its web. But you do nothing. This is why it is called a dream. The will of God is one will, and it cannot be undone by an idle wish. You have nothing to fear because you are guilty of nothing. You seem to have made a world of chaos and pain, but you've made nothing. You seem to be trapped, but you cannot be trapped. You are forever free within the mind of God. Accept this as true, and false fantasies will end forever. You are one with your brothers. As one, you shall be healed of fears that were never true. Your part is this. Realize you are part of a whole. So what you accept for the whole. Then look at what you accept. If you accept the false as true, false thoughts are believed within the mind that you are, and meaningless fantasies continue. But if you reject the false and peacefully accept the truth as true, a ray of light shines within the mind, gently soothing it, and erasing a false dream forever. Recognize who you are. Accept the truth of what is. Then everything else must disappear because it is nothing. Without the power of your attention to it, it ceases to be an experience within the mind. Listen to me. Rest and be glad. You are the Holy Son of God, forever safe within yourself. And I felt like just reading the whole message instead of stopping, so obviously that's what I did. What this message is again reminding me of is what Laurent and I were studying just a little bit ago, which was Ephesians, NTI Ephesians. You know, it's very funny, actually. I've always told people that for me, I've always referred to NTI Ephesians as my Helen Keller moment at the well. I have said that many times, and it's so funny because today I very suddenly, first of all, Laurent will tell you, I don't watch TV ever. Occasionally I'll sit down and watch a DVD, but I don't even do that very often. And today, at a quarter till one of all times, at a quarter till one, I felt a very sudden prompt to turn on the TV and watch the TV. I turned it on at 12:45, and a movie was starting right then at 12:45 on Bravo, and it was The Miracle Worker, which is the story of Helen Keller and her teacher. Mm-hmm. And here we are studying Ephesians today, and we get to see the movie today.
That's great.
Yeah, it was really a wonderful coincidence. But the reason I call Ephesians my Helen Keller moment at the well is if you have seen the movie about Helen Keller, then you know that what her teacher was able to do right away was teach her to sign. Because Helen was great. She was great at copying the signs. But Helen had no understanding that the signs were names of things. She was just able to copy the signs, but she did not understand they were a form of communication. And this was very frustrating for her entire family and for her teacher. But then there comes this one particular night where Helen throws a fit, which is something that she does a lot. She throws a fit, and she throws a pitcher of water in her teacher's face. And so her teacher grabs her and takes her outside to the well, which is actually a pump, takes her out to the pump, and she's going to make Helen refill the water. And so she's making Helen refill the water, and while she's making her refill the pitcher with water, she's also just signing water. And all of a sudden, it just clicks. All of a sudden, Helen understands that the sign is the name of the thing. And she suddenly gets it that it's communication. It's like she realizes a whole new world has opened up to her. No longer is she going to be locked up in this prison of not being able to communicate with others. Suddenly she realizes that she's going to be able to, you know, to talk and to communicate with the outer world, which is a great awakening for her. And she starts running around and pounding on things and asking for the sign for that because now she wants to know the name of everything. I was crying when we were watching it in the film today. It's so beautiful. But this is what happened to me when the Holy Spirit gave me NTI Ephesians. I, of course, had been, you know, this message that we're reading right now came months before that. The Holy Spirit had been using all of these words with me. You are one with your brothers. What you accept in your mind, you also accept it before your brothers. There is no separateness. I'd heard these words and taught these words. I had taught these words. But I was like Helen, copying the signs without truly understanding what I was saying or what Holy Spirit was saying. And when I wrote NTI Ephesians, that's when it clicked, just like it clicked for Helen at the well that day. It just clicked. I got it. We're one. Those were no longer words for me. I got it. We're one. I saw it. It was clear. I understood. And I've never lost that. I can still listen to the ego. I mean, I can slip back into listening to the ego, no doubt about it. But I've never lost the knowing that we're one. It just clicked. And in fact, that's really no different than for Helen, because although Helen that day, it clicked, she understood what language was, she understood what communication was, she still had 10 years of learning how to communicate in front of her. So when I wrote Ephesians, I understood what oneness was, I understood what forgiveness does and how it wakes us up, but I'm still learning to practice that. So in that way, I'm kind of like Helen Keller as well. But this message that we're reading right now is the exact same message as Ephesians, and it came months before that. It just didn't click yet. I was able to write the words, I was able to share the words, but I was just copying the signs like Helen. I didn't understand that if I believe in hate or fear or guilt or unworthiness, that I am participating in keeping that illusion within our one mind. And I also did not understand that when I choose to let go of believing in fear, guilt, unworthiness, hatred, attack, defense, that when I let go of it in my mind, that I am letting go of a piece of it for our entire mind. I did not understand until Ephesians that I cannot heal alone. I did not understand until Ephesians that when you heal your mind, you are healing mine. And when I heal my mind, I am healing yours. I did not get it that we are in this together. At least not in the way I do now. I said all those same words. I don't think the words sound any different. But the understanding is there. It's different. I get it. And so this is what Holy Spirit is talking about in this particular message. When he says, you do nothing. Of course, what he's referring to is there is no separation. You and your brothers are perfectly bound. You always have been, and you can't be anything but that. You're playing a game. You're having a fantasy. You're choosing to experience as if you are separate. But you do nothing. You do nothing because your oneness, your oneness and your eternity, your existence, has in no way changed, nor can it ever change. And this is what he's asking us to recognize. And he says, as soon as we truly recognize this, the illusion will just disappear, because the illusion is the belief that we're separate. And when we see that we're not, then we can't believe in the illusion anymore, at least not wholly. Laurent, do you have anything to say?
I'm taking that in very, very deeply, because from my end as well, you know, this is what I teach, obviously, and I get clarity, but there's always a deeper knowing, and there's always an awakening to honesty tells me that, you know, come on, I know it's through teaching that I will learn it. But there's as you know, we've been discussing that all day, and I'd really give my willingness to go deeper into admitting what is true, what is a fact. The oneness is a fact. There is no brothers, it's a fact. Well, I know all these things, but I'd be lying if I told you that I know them as fact. I mean, to some degrees, why, sure, I had great experiences and stuff, but is it a fact that I don't have any private thoughts? I mean, it's a fact, yes, but do I live by that? Do I know that? Now, if I knew that, I wouldn't protect what I call my room from anybody's entrance there. If I knew that, if I knew that as a fact, if I was living that, I wouldn't come up with ideas of danger from outside. I wouldn't play victim in order to maintain somebody not to come inside of me to realize that I'm so unworthy. I wouldn't do all that if I knew this. And I still do that. But I'm glad. I'm. We're getting deeper. There is more honesty as deeper you go. just saying that actually is cool, because I wouldn't have the same speech, I don't know, a year ago, 6 months ago, even like 3-4 years ago, and I had all this light and all these beautiful things, there was still this, right, you know, I'm doing my things, you do your things, bye, you know. But there was a bye, there was I love you and stuff, but I'm not one with you, you know, I'm like, I got my stuff, I deal with my mind, I understand that when I accept the thought, when I don't accept the thought, that brings a lot of light, so you can recognize my willingness in your willingness, your willingness in my willingness, you can recognize that. But there was still like, there is still separation. There is still separation. And
Oh no, Zoe, as soon as Laurent's done, we will turn the mic over to you. Please do not drop your hand. Go ahead.
I'm just happy, and I give even more willingness to accept what to my ego is totally unacceptable. And I give my willingness to accept more and to continue to trust, because Holy Spirit is really doing a magnificent work.
Thank you. Zoe, thank you for your patience. Please take the mic.
Hi, everybody. Can you hear me? Just give me a why. Anyway, I'll start. Because it doesn't matter, does it? I'm starting to get that. Yesterday or the day before, Holy Spirit, my voice I heard, was that we're on the same page, we're all on the same page. And that then today, while you were speaking, and you come into mind, Regina, a lot with this, yes, but Regina seems to be, you know, in my dot, 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 and then what Holy Spirit said was, Regina is able to articulate. It's clearer. That's all it is, but you're still on the same page. Mm. And then, just now, and that's what teachers, that's why a certain teachers for certain people are clear in their minds towards other people. So, I'm not being very clear. I'm not one of those teachers, but it's very clear to me that we are all on the same page. Oh, and then when Laurent, you just said, yes, but why do I lock my room? Because the body is the last stance of the ego. Our minds, our one-mindedness is very clear to us, especially as the deeper we study this, the one-mindedness keeps coming up and up and up, and then yes, 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 but you're still a body. Don't come in my room. And that's the last stand. The body is the last stand. And so that's all I wanted to say. Thank you very much.
Oh, I think ACM Ruby wants to speak. Okay, go ahead.
Okay. Ruby, did you want to take the mic, or was that just a mistake of the control key or something?
Okay, so we take the yes, dear. Just wanted to add that the room thing was in my mind when I said it. Of course, is just a symbol of my mind, of a private mind of mine. Not a physical room, although it could be like a nice symbol of it. But I was saying, we all one. I love you and stuff. I don't even care of the body. I don't care of all this. But secretly, I am in my room now. My room is my mind, okay? That's not the brain, that's the mind. It's already, but it's not the one mind, you know? It's like, so, you know, do whatever with the body, it's fine, it's beautiful, I love you, and all those beautiful things, but I would be lying if I wouldn't say that at night, or secretly, or even in front of a brother, I love you and stuff, everything is beautiful, but I'm in my room. I open the door for you, you know, because it's nice, but not really. It's, of course, it's some kind of a secret room. It's just an example of the mind, the way the mind is. But that's what I was referring to. And, of course, you know, like the room is the body. But there's even, Holy Spirit told me that, like in a conversation, it's the blowing up into the big thing, which is still separate. Mm. The big thing would be the mind. Yeah. So it's still playing it like, not even playing it, it was nice, playing it like, you know, I just love everyone and I fall in love with everyone and beautiful. But still, I'm safe in my mind, by myself. And that, yeah, my space in my mind, at least give me my thoughts, let me think what I want to think about you, and let me love you, but let me do myself, let me take care of the loving by myself. And you can feel there the little idea of control, of, I mean, a lot of things that are really untrue. The fact is that I don't have a mind of myself. The fact is that I'm not separate from you. So it's what I see, what I'm happy, is to see the secret wish, the secret holding on to some secret safety, that when you think about it, secretly, you're by yourself in that ivory mindly tower because you're afraid of everyone else. Because you're like, yeah, I love everybody, but don't come too close. And I'm here, I'm talking in the mind, not the body, the mind. So obviously, joining with Regina was a wonderful symbol of bringing that fear up. Because now I was like, close, physically speaking, with someone. And that brought the whole thing up, and that's great. Now I'm grateful. Whatever pain it takes, however difficult it is to let go, I must see it. That's what I'm praying it for every day. So I trust that it's going to be okay. I'm trusting the healing process. You know, however long it takes, isn't that worth it? Worth it to realize that person's is experience in the mind? Forget the body. In the mind. So that's what I want to say.
Thank you.
Thank you. I love you too.
All right. Let's go back to ReginaDawnAkers.com then. And let's scroll up once again. This time we are scrolling up to Saturday, October 15th. And the title is Knowing Me, What Would You Share? So let's see what was happening. I said, Holy Spirit, knowing my prayer last night, shared with all of my brothers as a symbol of my willingness. I like vaguely remember this. I don't remember what the prayer was. What I do remember is it happened on a teaching night. I was teaching something, and I remember coming in, and I remember saying, I am teaching this as a prayer to myself because I really want to learn this. And so I remember that, saying out loud to all of my brothers, I want to learn this. Tonight's teaching is a prayer. I don't remember what it was, but maybe we'll figure it out as we continue reading. So, Holy Spirit, knowing my prayer last night, shared with all of my brothers as a symbol of my willingness, knowing where I think I am and what my challenges seem to be, and knowing the sincere goal of my heart, what would you share with me right now? And here's the answer. Right there. Right now, there is the thought of guilt in your mind. You think you are guilty because you do not have the experience of being awake now. And I'll tell you, that still crosses my mind. And maybe everybody else here feels it too. Feeling guilty for not being awake yet. Okay, so yep, I see one yep already. I see, have another yep here on my side. There's another yep, okay. So we're all guilty because we're not awake. At least that's what we think. Yep. Yeah, yeah. We can just take a moment to laugh at ourselves now. But apparently that had something to do with what was going on. So right there, right now, there is the thought of guilt in your mind. You think you are guilty because you do not have the experience of being awake now. Step back and look at that thought. Be detached from it. It is just a thought. It has no reflection unless you choose to give it the power of reflection. Let the thought sit there a moment. Let it be unattended to. It will wait for you. And you can return to it if that is what you choose to do. Now, this is interesting. It looks like what he's teaching me to do is rest the mind. Because at some point I learned that from him. He may have told me to rest, but like everybody else, it didn't mean I knew how. You know, I didn't know how to rest. And it looks like what he's doing here with this particular thought is he's teaching me to rest the mind. He's saying, let it sit there a moment. Well, you know, if I'm letting it sit there a moment, I'm not denying it. Right? Mm-hmm. I'm actually holding it in my mind long enough to look at it, but I've had to step back from it in order to do that. So there's a detached position where I'm letting the thought sit there in the mind, and I'm looking at it. So he says, let the thought sit there a moment. Let it be unattended to. Now that is definitely resting. When it's sitting there in the mind, but it's unattended to, which means I'm not giving it the power. I'm not letting it spin and spin and spin. I'm not letting that thought go to the next thought in the story. There's just a stall. It's just sitting there. And then just in case there's some kind of a panic in me, like I need to think this thought. I need to think this thought. This is an important thought. I need to think this thought. Just in case that's there, he's saying, don't worry, it'll wait for you. If you want to go back to it after you've looked at it for a minute or so, you can go back and think it, you know, but let's just look at it for a bit. And of course, he knows that if I look at it for a bit, you know, from that observer point of view, I'm actually going to lose interest in the story it's trying to tell me. He knows that. And in fact, he's reminding me of Eckhart Tolle right now. Eckhart Tolle uses this in form, you know, for people who, the one example I remember him using it with was somebody who ate compulsively, compulsive eating, and didn't know how to stop compulsive eating. And he said, well, whenever you see that thought in your mind, he said, just look at that thought, just let it be. And I think he recommended for 15 minutes.
Really?
Yeah, he said, instead of doing anything about it, just look at that thought in your mind for 15 minutes. He said, if it's still there after 15 minutes of looking at it, resting with it, just letting it be, well then, you know, go eat. But he says, probably, if you just look at it for 15 minutes, it's probably just going to die on its own. That's resting the mind. And that's exactly what Holy Spirit is teaching here. Just let it stay there. Unattended to, just let it stay there. It'll still be there. If you want to go eat in 15 minutes, if you want to believe this thought in 5 minutes, it'll still be there, but just let it be for a bit. Because Holy Spirit knows it will probably die. Or at least you'll start to lose interest in it. It will weaken. And then, he says, now, let me give you another thought to consider. This thought is just as much an option as the other thought. And remember, specifically what we're talking about here is the thought that I'm guilty for not being awake yet. Okay? So he says, let me give you another thought to consider. This thought is just as much an option as the other thought. I hold it out to you as a gift and ask that you accept it as yours. You are guilty of nothing, my love. You have never been anything but the bright light that you have been asked to be. I am very pleased. I am grateful for you, and my love for you is unending. It extends in all directions forever and ever without obstruction. You are the thought I created you to be, and you do all that I ask. You are never absent from me, always in my presence, a part of my own warmth. You are everything you were created to be, and you have never been anything else. You imagined yourself differently for a bit, but that has changed nothing. Now, that's a completely different thought than I'm guilty for not being awake right now.
Kind of. Not the same content exactly.
Not the same content. Completely different thought. I am absolutely perfect in the eyes of the Holy Spirit. And that is because when the Holy Spirit looks at me, which is the same as when the Holy Spirit looks at us, the Holy Spirit is not looking at illusion. The Holy Spirit is looking at that oneness I talked about a little bit ago, that oneness that we actually are. And Holy Spirit is looking at the freedom that we are, the perfect, unlimited freedom. And Holy Spirit is well aware that we are practicing that freedom by playing a game of separation. Holy Spirit is grateful that we are practicing our freedom and knows that it's our perfect oneness that is allowing us this experience. In the eyes of Holy Spirit, everything is working perfectly. Nothing is broken. Nothing needs to be fixed. We want to have an experience. Through our oneness, we're having that experience. It's perfect. And there in no way are we a disappointment. Again, Holy Spirit calls us the bright light we've been asked to be. He calls us His own warmth. You know, he's using beautiful, beautiful words to describe the love and the way that he sees us. And if we can accept that for a moment, we can really start to see that we could never be guilty for anything. And certainly not for, we could not be guilty for just not seeing ourselves the way we are. Because we are what we are. It's merely a perception. It has nothing to do with anything in truth at all. Holy Spirit then continues in the next paragraph. Be happy right where you seem to be right now. And don't worry about a thing. I ask nothing of you that you do not give. Continue to turn your face to me. Because that is what you will. And I will continue to love you because that is what I will. We are together, always in every moment. I am never disappointed in you. See this fact and accept it in gladness. And now, there before you are two thoughts. One you offered yourself out of fear. The other I give to you out of the truth of love. Choose wisely, my dear child. You choose your own experience. Why not experience the beauty and freedom of truth? Kind of nice, huh?
Kind of nice.
Yeah, very nice. There's really nothing else to say about that.
Yeah.
Except maybe you guys all want to bookmark this for when you start feeling guilty about not being awake again or anything else, as a matter of fact. Or anything else. All right, then. Let's scroll up.
Very good, very good.
Yeah, this is one of my favorite messages. One of my all-time favorite messages.
Wow.
From Monday, October 17th, 2005.
I like that.
You are existence itself.
Reminds me of my friend Ramana.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you why. Remember how I told you a moment ago that with Ephesians, which in history has yet to be written because it hadn't been written in October 2005, but Ephesians is when our oneness clicked for me. I got it. This is where, for the first time, innocence clicked for me. Not that I don't still lose it, because, I still listen to ego, but I had never gotten it until this message. And this message, I got it that I was innocent, even though Holy Spirit had told me. We just read a message where he told me. You know, the whole time he's telling me you're innocent, like inside I'm shaking my head and saying, no, I'm not. No, I'm not. This is the first time when I actually said, oh, I'm innocent. And I was so happy. I was so happy. I think on the peace of God, I wrote this message like, I get it. I'm innocent. And what I got out of this message was, the only thing my father asks me to do is exist.
Is be, yes.
And I do that. If that's the only thing I'm asked to do, and I do that, then I'm innocent.
Wasn't that the single quiet thought of yesterday?
It was the single quiet thought of yesterday. Absolutely. It was the very same idea. So this message is where I first got it. So that's the first time that I could hear that I was innocent and agree. Up until then, I was inside arguing while Holy Spirit was saying it. But if all I'm asked to do is exist, and there's no other rules, well, heck, I exist. Mm-hmm. I'm innocent. It's pretty easy. But, easy job description, Wayne says. But let's look at this message. We only have about 13 minutes, so let's see what happens. See if we get through it. If not in 2 weeks, we'll just begin at the beginning and do it again, because it's one of my favorite messages anyway. Okay, so here we go. You are existence itself. A Course in Miracles says that I did not affect my own reality at all by illusions. What would you share regarding this thought? Answer. Do not confuse reality with illusions. You are thinking that you were born, and now you have the opportunity to be saved. And you are thinking that this birth of you and the opportunity for your salvation would not exist had it not been for illusions. You are thinking that since you are a product of the thought of separation, you exist because of illusions. This is but a confusion regarding who you are. And this is absolutely what I thought, because fully identified with the body, fully identified with being Regina, fully identified with being born from, you know, Don and Anita Akers. I thought, it's just like he says, it's more like the old Christian thought, actually. I thought that was the beginning of my existence. And now there was some kind of an opportunity to be saved and to exist forever. But if it wasn't for separation, I never would have existed in the first place. That's how I was thinking. If there had never been a separation, Regina would never have been born, and Regina wouldn't have a chance to exist forever. So that's what was in my mind, and this is what he is pointing out. And now he's telling me that's not true. He says, you are existence itself. You existed before illusions seemed to be, and your existence is assured after illusions are forgotten. This is why I say you are eternal. Your existence is free of pain, fear, and worry, all of which seem to be a part of the consciousness of which you think you are now. It is the seeming individual consciousness that is illusion. And this illusion is not you, because it is not existence. It is an illusory consciousness that has been laid on top of existence through imaginings. And in fact, what he's going to get to in just a moment, which is the same thing we read in 1 Corinthians earlier this week, if you're reading the reading plan along with Laurent and I and NTI, is we read that the personality is like a mask that we've made, and it's on top of our real face, which is existence. And this is what he's describing here. The individual consciousness, the belief that I'm this individual, that I'm Regina, is a mask on top of what I am. And what I am is existence. And as he's been teaching us through these single quiet thoughts lately, this mask of individual consciousness is really just a web of ideas. Mm-hmm. And he's been showing us how we define ourselves with ideas, and he's also been pointing out to us that we truly are not those ideas, and we're starting to see that.
Right. And just a quick little something, the main fear that is incorporated in this mask, which is a filter of ideas, a web of ideas, is the fear of not existing. Because somewhere inside of us, we, as the ego, you know, we know we don't exist. We know that the mask doesn't exist.
Right.
Existence gives life to everything, to this mask as well. But as the mask, meaning if I'm born of a father and a mother in the world and stuff, then I carry deeply the fear of not existing. And I'm going to put a lot of effort not to face this fear, because it's terrible. Even fearing death is a way to avoid this fear, because it's in the future, it's terrible and stuff, but it's not as terrible as fearing the some kind of a realization that I don't exist as myself, as
right.
who I am.
Right.
So when he comes with you are existence itself, that just like blows away in the foundation of the in the building blocks of that illusion of myself. That carries, and this is, by the way, the main path of Ramana.
Yes.
It's like if you can have the direct experience, even a split of a second, that you are existence now here, just that's it. Just the more you do that, you don't have anything to worry about after, because that takes care of cleansing all belief,
yes.
everything. That just tells the ego, that just tells yourself who believes in the ego, I am that I am, meaning I exist. I'm not. That takes care of itself, to of the fear of not existing.
Yes.
Upon which the whole thing relies.
Yes. Yes. I am that I am. I am that I am. All right. Let me go to the third paragraph. And actually, I'm going to take a break to say hi, Dan. I just noticed a friend of mine is in the room. Okay. Now back. I'm back. Let's go down to the third paragraph. He said, you try to imagine yourself without imagining. So I'm trying to imagine, as he's talking to me, I'm trying to imagine, okay, so what is it like being existence without being Regina? And I can't imagine that. So, you know, I just can't, and I'm getting my head hurting. He says, you try to imagine yourself without imaginings. This cannot be done. For illusory consciousness does not remember existence without consciousness. And so it cannot imagine it. Because you believe that consciousness is what you are, and in consciousness can be used in several different ways.
Right.
So let me clarify that in this paragraph, consciousness is synonymous with thinking. In fact, let me go ahead and just use the word thinking. He says, because you believe that thinking is what you are, and that all experience must come from being conscious or being attached to your thinking mind, it seems that existence without consciousness must be death. But how can existence be death? And if existence is death, how could it have made consciousness? So he's really just trying to get me to see there had to be something before this experience that I'm having now. And he's literally somehow getting me during this paragraph. I mean, I told you this is the day it clicked. During this paragraph, he is shifting my mind from identification with the mask to identification with existence. And I'm really starting to somehow, I can't explain it, somehow in my mind I'm starting to see myself as existence, even though I can't imagine it. The identity is shifting for me. And I'm realizing, oh my God, you're right. I have to be more than what I think I am. For the first time, I'm saying that for real. I have to be more than what I think I am. And notice the have to be. I was seeing, I have to be. It really, it's true. I could feel it. He continues. Existence is a peacefulness and wholeness that your consciousness cannot imagine. This fact I asked you to accept in faith and trust. To try to imagine existence without consciousness is to continue to exercise consciousness and to retain consciousness as your seeming identity. Now again, consciousness here is synonymous with thinking. So what he's trying to tell me here is that if I am using my thinking mind to try and imagine what it must be like to be existence without thinking, I'm using my thinking mind. In that instant, I'm still identified with thinking as me. I'm thinking my answer is going to come from my thinking. I'm still thinking I'm my thinking. I can't think my way into realizing I'm not thinking. Do you hear that? I can't think my way into realizing I'm not thinking. It's impossible. It's impossible. And that's why he says, to know yourself as existence, you must relax and let go of consciousness, or again, in this case, thinking. You have to relax. You have to rest. You have to trust. You have to be willing, actually, not to understand. It's through being willing not to understand and being okay with that that the understanding comes. You can't think your way into it. It's impossible. It's impossible. Holy Spirit continues. This is why I ask you to focus on the moment, the now. Existence is now. Whereas consciousness seems to be all over the place and nowhere at the same time. And you guys know this about the thinking mind. It goes forward into the future, back into the past. It imagines stuff that's never going to happen and never did happen.
But it's never now.
It's never now.
It feels now.
It's all over the place and nowhere at the same time. So existence is now. Whereas consciousness seems to be all over the place and nowhere at the same time. It strives to control the past and the future, this imagining and that imagining all at once. In its striving, it spins and spins, missing the fact of reality by striving within its fantasies. To let go of this striving is to be. And to be is existence. So again, the only way to realize we're existence is to let go of the thinking. We can't think our way into realizing it.
To let go of this. Like, I like the striving.
Striving, the efforting.
Is it an efforting? Is it a wanting as well?
Yeah. Well, I don't know what you mean by wanting. Efforting to me is a striving. It's a working. It's a trying.
Striving.
Yeah.
I saw that as another ambassador, you know, of the desire not to know thyself.
Oh, yeah.
That some kind of a force, of a wanting to control the past and the future.
Yes, that's true also, absolutely. Okay, so let's look at these last two paragraphs. I think we will finish this today. He says, this is something you can do, and he's referring to just being. He says, this is something you can do even within the dream. And as you be within the dream, you cease to exercise consciousness so that it slows down, quiets, and dies. So again, as we just be, without the thinking, without the striving,
which is what we talked about,
it slows down and dies, absolutely. But after consciousness dies, or after thinking dies, you still are. So you must not have been consciousness. And this, that you are, always was, so that it was not affected by the insane consciousness that seemed to be you for a little while. Consciousness is like a mask that you wear, and it seems to be something and to be alive. But when the mask is taken off and laid aside, it is nothing. You are what is behind the mask. You were there before the mask was put on. You are there now under the mask, and you continue when the mask has been laid aside. So again, this lifetime is a temporary experience, just like this day is a temporary experience, this problem is a temporary experience, this joy is a temporary experience. We are that which was before, which is now, and which will continue to be after. We are existence itself, and as yesterday's single quiet thought said, the only obligation we have is to be, and we can't help but be that. Therefore, we're perfectly innocent always. And that's it. We're out of time.
Very cool.
Very cool. All right, you guys. So Laurent is back tomorrow at 1 o'clock.
And I think I might just go, I might continue on the lancée, on the Ramana's teaching, which is really that, actually. You know, okay. Really, you are existence.
There we go.
1 o'clock tomorrow.
1 o'clock tomorrow. Okay, so we will see you all tomorrow then. Love you. Bye.
I just want to read what...